Morning, everybody. If we could please turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 25. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 25. I'm sure most of you will be familiar with this story. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst of Jesus, before Jesus Christ. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, said unto them, What reasons ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to thy rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I like this story. It parallels a lot of things that's of this world right now. I was just speaking to our resident doctor about kids in certain areas in Southern California, how they're getting sick. You know, they're in schools or daycare, and they're passing along these sickness. And it's amazing to me how technology has progressed throughout the years. Whereas years ago, you know, for example, if you had a heart disease and, you know, your heart didn't function well, they kind of pretty much wrote you off. They gave you comfort, and you were probably going to die. Where now they can just put a machine in you, make sure your heart's beating normal, and you'll live. And there's so many things. Like now you don't even have to be in the same room as a doctor. They can operate on you remotely using robots from another country. It's pretty amazing to me. Like in sports, 50, 60 years ago, if you had an injury on your elbow, on your knees, your career is done. And we all know there's a lot of athletes nowadays, they'll get surgery on a bad elbow or bad knee, and they're back the next season. And just the technology has progressed wonderfully. But can you actually think of anyone a greater healer than Jesus Christ? This morning when Brother Hyung was praying, he prayed about Lazarus, how he died, and Jesus brought him back from death. This man with the palsy, I don't know exactly how he got that sickness, but from what I've read, it's probably, you know, he might be related to his sin, I'm not sure, but he was, Jesus Christ forgave him, and then his sin was forgiven, and he walked away. And if you look at countless types of healing in the Bible, when Jesus spat on the dirt, rubbed it on the man's blind man's eyes, he could see again. And it's just so wonderful how our modern medicine can heal pretty much everything that we have, but really no one's greater than the Son, the Heavenly Father's Son, Jesus Christ. So if you look at like what we have nowadays, like we understand some of the diseases that we, the sickness and the disease that we have, but there's some that we understand how they work, but we just have no cure for them. Like, for example, cancer. And I'd like to share with you a story of one of the strongest persons I've ever known in my entire life, man or woman. That's my grandmother. About a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, she was diagnosed with lymphoma. And so they didn't know how long she was going to live. But they told her, one way we can help you out, it's chemotherapy, but it's going to be a burden to your health. Being my grandmother was over 80 years old, she was 84 at that time, and so physically she wasn't as healthy as some of us younger people in here. So I remember my wife and I went to visit her. I think it was after her third, maybe fourth session, and her neck, it was like burn marks, you know. It was dark, and there was a huge lump, and she was so depressed because she couldn't eat, she lost appetite, she didn't have any energy to do anything because of just the way the medicine slowed her down, and the chemotherapy, she had burn marks. And then about 2 months ago, she had a fall and she fractured her spine, and then they had to do surgery on her. And so my wife and I went to visit her, and we had our son with us, who was under, he was only 3 months old, or 2 months old at the time. And so we weren't allowed to go upstairs, and I went to go see her by myself. And she was so depressed, and she was telling me how, you know, I wish, it's so painful. I went through chemotherapy, I survived that, you know, and now I had a fall, and why doesn't God just take me? And to me, it was really heartbreaking. It was so heartbreaking to hear my grandmother say that. And she's, like I said, she's one of the strongest people I've ever met. She survived World War II, she survived famine, she survived everything. She survived cancer at the age of 85. She survived a fall and a fractured spine. And yet, if you look at cancer or some of the diseases that we have now, there's no real cure for it. But if somebody came up to you and said, if somebody came up to my grandmother and said, hey, here's a pill, it'll heal you right away. Just take it and boom, you're done. Cancer's gone, you'll be healthy, you'll walk again. I don't think my grandmother, as strong as she is, would have said, no, I'd rather just get burned with radiation and chemotherapy. I'd rather just go through that. I don't want to take that pill. And so I kind of equate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in that way, that he came down from a place of comfort from the Heavenly Father. So the Heavenly Father sent him down here, and God could have sent somebody like an angel that's perfect, his own creation, but he didn't send down somebody who was just a helper. He sent down his very own, pretty much himself. He sent him down here to suffer on the cross for us and to die on the cross for us. Whereas before Christ came, you know, like in the time of Moses and Abraham, in order to pay for your sins, you would have to find the perfect animal, dove, goat, or whatever it is, and you sacrifice it, and the blood was sprinkled, and you burn the offering, and, you know, your sins are forgiven for that period. But Jesus Christ did it for us, and he came down from a place of comfort to die on the cross for us, and he was humiliated. And in a way, you know, sin is kind of like, because of the sin that we had to pay for, when somebody offers you, hey, this is salvation, you get to, at the end of this, you're not going to suffer in hell at the end of your life, because it's a guarantee that you're going to die. Every second that ticks by, you're closer and closer to your death. And you're closer and closer to a time of eternity where you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And in a way, Jesus Christ is someone, you know, he came down here and he's offered you, hey, I have the solution to your eternal problem. The one sin that the sin that you committed, or that Adam and Eve, when they ate of that fruit of knowledge, it was passed along to you. I have the solution for that. And Jesus is offering it, and maybe you're not saved, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, that's the one thing that I need to have in my life. But sometimes it stops us, right? And what is it that stops us? And I know what it's like to be in that position, because before I was saved, you know, I had every 100% of the reasons. If you did a pros and cons list, 100 of the reasons was on a pro. There was absolutely no con to accepting Christ as my Savior, right? There's nothing that would bring negativity to my life by accepting Christ in my life as my Savior. But, what I can remember is sin, because I equate sin to kind of when you're, let's say you're out to sea and you're on a boat and you have heavy shoes on and heavy clothing on, and then the boat tips over and then you fall in the water and you can't swim and you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and you're sinking and sinking and sinking. That's what sin is doing to you. 2 years ago, Stacy and I went to go see our doctor, and he told me, hey, Alfredo, your cholesterol is really high. So it's kind of, it's eye-opening to know that, or to find out that, you know, all this time I thought I was healthy and, you know, I'm getting up in the morning and I'm doing all these things. And he says, no more burgers, no more hot dogs, no more rice. Because white rice, processed, you know, that's what's causing your cholesterol to go up. And saying to an Asian guy, no rice, is like saying, don't breathe oxygen, you know. And so I was good for about 2 weeks. And then I went right back, like, hey, one McDonald's, one In-N-Out burger a week, that's not going to hurt me. But that's what, you know, that's what sin is. And if you don't think that the hand of the devil is at work, just look around you. Look what's on the newspaper. Look what is encouraged for you to do. You know, hey, you know, if you're watching, you don't even have to be watching TV. Just look at what's on the billboards out there. You know, you have a very attractive man or woman, scantily clad, smoking a cigarette or drinking alcohol. They're telling you, hey, it's okay. It's whatever makes you happy. And the hand of the devil is everywhere. He's making it seem like, you know, that temptation, it's kind of like eating that, you know, ice cream sandwich. One bite is not going to hurt you, but one bite leads to another and to another. Next thing you know, you're eating a whole bucket of ice cream. And, you know, it's just like the disease that creeps up in you, the heart disease, and one day you're going to croak. And one day when you are called by God and he calls you and you're standing in front of him and he asks you, why should I let you into heaven? Why shouldn't I send you to hell? Can you say to him that I accepted your son as my Lord and Savior? I believe that his blood paid for my sins and washed away the things that I've done and the things that I could not do in front of my parents. So I look at the man with the palsy who was brought down from the roof by his own friends. And I don't know how they brought him in. There's, you know, what the story says, they cut the tile to fit him down, to bring him down there. How the faith that he had saved him. And in today, nowadays, we are so dependent on technology. We're so dependent on things, you know, solving our problems instantaneously. And you look at how now that if you're buying a phone, they want you to buy the most expensive phone with the fastest service, because we want instantaneous solution for all our problems. And it's kind of envious to look at other people you know, when I was in the military, I would go to other countries, and these people, they didn't have technology. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have beds. They slept on the floor or hammock. But it's kind of, but they're detached from the world. They're happy. They live a lot longer. They eat healthy because they make their own food. And so we're spoiled as Americans, I think, that we don't know how to solve our problems, but all along it's right here in our face. It's in the Bible. It's in the stories that we read. It's in the people that are around us. And yesterday, my son was 100 days old, and we had a celebration of it. And from what I understand, it's because back then, kids didn't really live past the age of, but past 100 days, because they would be get sick or whatever, and then they would pass away. And I looked at my son, and I feel so blessed because I'm surrounded by Christians, because he's going to grow up in a family of Christians. And, you know, when I grew up that way, I was still, you know, around other people who weren't Christians. And I'm afraid that my son's going to be that way. And I'm afraid that he's going to be in the same boat as I was, sinking in the water with heavy shoes and heavy clothes and sin just pulling me down. And I know that some, you know, I was in where you were at your seat at one point, and I, you know, some of you down there, or you might be thinking to yourself, what's the benefit? There is absolutely no negatives to having Christ in your life. And, you know, if anything, the toughest part probably would be the challenges, because the challenges of the enemy wanting your soul. Trust me, God sent the very best that he had available, his son. And the devil wants your soul just as much as the God the Father does. That is 100% fact. He wants you to be miserable with him in hell, and he's fighting for you, and he's right now, he's winning in the world. He's winning in the world. But you're here because I know that the Father speaks to your heart, the Son has gotten to you, and he's wanting you in his home. And so, if you are thinking that sin, that one sin that you're stuck on, that keeps repeating, that you keep wanting to do, keep doing it, is what's stopping you, then, you know, I encourage you, and I pray that you would just look into it, you know, just consider what it is that would have you turn to Christ. And so, that's about it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee on this day to start the week. Father, we know the challenges of the world. We know the challenges of being around others who are sinners, just like we are. Being around others who, being around all the temptation in the world. And Father, we're so grateful that thou hast sent thy Son for us, not to condemn us, not to judge us, like thy Son on that day when the man who was sick was brought down from the roof. Right away, Jesus recognized that his faith and his love was worthy of forgiveness, and that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, when he was beaten, when he was humiliated, thy Son didn't, he didn't judge us. What he asked for was forgiveness for our sins, for we know not what we are doing. And no matter how smart we may think we are, no matter how much technology has given us, healthier life, a longer life, food abundance, and technology that's instantaneous in our hands, nothing is greater than the gift of thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, who sacrificed himself, who sacrificed his own blood. He was nailed upon the cross with wounds on his hands, on his feet, the crown of thorns. And Lord, he was lashed and beaten on the back. And yet, the first thing that he asked for was for our forgiveness. And Lord, sometimes it's hard to get away from the sin. It's hard to get away from the noise of the world. But Father, we are thankful that here we can be amongst other Christians, brothers and sisters, to worship Thee and praise Thee, Lord, and to be part of a greater plan. And Heavenly Father, one day when we give up our soul, we know that we will be judged. Even if we are saved, we will still be judged. And Father, we just are so grateful that Thou forgiveness and Thy love for us is great enough to overcome the things that we have done. We give Thee praise and thanks, Lord, for Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.